It's time for Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. The perfect place for that game day snack as you get ready to watch the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. And here to talk some Cleveland Browns football is Fox 8's own John Telitz. JT, how you doing today?
Doing fantastic. The fall is the best time of the year, Rocco.
It certainly is. Are you seeing the leaves out there? My goodness gracious, it felt like it took a little while for them to change this year. But boy, oh boy, they are just beautiful out there right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, I really enjoy, because I do a lot of running, especially in all the metro parks or down in the Cuyahoga Valley National Park or what have you. And so you're running into just site after site, and half the time you're stopping, pulling out your cell phone to take a picture just because you want to capture it and enjoy it. So that's
absolutely
what I like to do.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And it certainly looks tremendous as I look out the window here at the WEOL studio. So hopefully our listeners are enjoying the fall foliage as well. So, JT, let's dive into the Cleveland Browns here. And I'll tell you what, Baker Mayfield, there was a lot of eyes on him this Sunday with everything kind of leading in to that week against the Cincinnati Bengals. And I felt like he delivered on Sunday in a big way. You know, not the most electric stat line necessarily, but he got the job done. And, you know, I think we need to be feeling a lot better about him right now.
Yeah, I absolutely can tell, and I think most people wanted to say it, but maybe had reservations. You just had more evidence that he felt more comfortable commanding the offense without having to, you know, get Odell involved. And I think a lot of people don't really want to say that. It's nothing against Odell. What happened happened, and they are moving on. But I just think he plays fast, free, and loose. And here's something that was interesting on Sunday. Now, people would say Baker's, you know, he's a system quarterback because Kevin's had him set with rollouts and bootlegs and get him out in open space so he can throw on the run, and he's very good at that type of a thing. But I saw on Sunday, you know, they had a little bit of pressure on him, and his number, just his grade for the day, was 89.8. That's his overall grade. But when he was pressured, his actual grade went up. He was at 94.3. So if you're into those types of metrics, it tells you that he felt loose, he felt comfortable. Maybe the shoulder was a little bit less of a cumbersome thing to deal with. And, you know, he had a season-high rating of a 132.6. And he did all of this, Rocco, which I thought was really cool, with only 14 completions. It wasn't like he was back there spraying the football all over the place. Granted, they had Nick Chubb running well. Granted that they picked their spots to take some shots, and they were successful. But he looked really comfortable. It was a big day for him. I know he did the pregame, get the guys going in the huddle on the field, and I think there's clips of that out there on social media. He was jacked up, and he went out and delivered. So you have to give Baker as many props as possible for the job he did.
And you mentioned the explosive plays there, JT. I think that was something that was massive for the Browns on Sunday offensively. It feels like all season you've just been waiting for something big to happen. You're waiting, you're waiting, you're waiting, and it hasn't really happened. But on Sunday, whew, they delivered. You know, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Nick Chubb, a couple of others getting some big plays involved.
Yeah, they really did. And there's metrics that even take a look at that. And let me throw a couple of them at you, which I thought was kind of cool. On Sunday, they had 10 explosive plays. An explosive play is defined as thus: a run 10 yards or more, a pass play 20 yards or more. So they had 10 of those types of plays on Sunday. Their season average is 7.9. But in the three previous games where they scuffled in more ways than one, at least on the offensive side of the football, they only had 19 explosive plays in those three games. So I thought when they went out on Sunday and they played fast and free and loose as a goose, you saw how that offense can run, and they really exploited the Bengals with going up and down the field with those explosive plays.
John Telitz is our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. JT, looking at the defensive side of the football, I think the takeaways, I mean, right from the get-go on that opening drive, Joe Burrow and friends marching right down the field, and Denzel Ward to the rescue saves the day, and I think really helped set the tone for the rest of that football game. And again, the takeaways just really helped the Browns seize control of that one.
It was really incredible, because I think, wasn't there a stat on Sunday that the Browns offense did not take the field until the Bengals had run off 20 plays? So they take the ball, they move it all the way down to the field, down the field, and they're on the doorstep. You're thinking, okay, Browns are going to be down 7-0. Browns will have a chance to tie the game. Hey, the Browns get the ball to start the second half. All those types of things that you look at as the game moves along. But then Denzel makes that play. That's a 14-point swing. And that was the Denzel Ward that we saw as a rookie who had countless takeaways, who played fast and free. And I don't know about you, Rocco, but when he was running down the field, all I'm thinking is hamstring, be safe. Hamstring, be safe. Because that would have been all they needed was for him to intercept the football and then about 60 yards into a 99-yard run, pull up like, you know, he had been shot. So very good to see the takeaways. They had 5 in 8 games going into Sunday, and then they go and have 3 of those on Sunday against the Bengals. I think there was also another one that was a penalty negated it. So very good with what Joe Woods' defense did with the emphasis on that. But if Denzel doesn't make that play and turn the game around the way he did, you know, who knows how they would have played per se. But I was impressed with how they went after the football and were really active, especially that defensive secondary. It was played a very outstanding game.
Well, you're a runner, JT. So, I mean, I know Denzel was over there getting some oxygen for a while after that interception. So maybe you could get down there, help him stretch out a bit, you know, show him a couple things that could keep the hammy healthy down there. That's what we need. So,
well, you know, it's kind of funny. It's like, first of all, when you're, you know, when you're dealing with an injury the way he had and he was on the shelf for a little bit, wasn't practicing, then it's one heck of a jolt to the system to be sprinting 100 yards down. So I can understand where Denzel was dealing with that. And here's another aspect of this. You recall how Miles was last year when he came back and how he had problems catching his breath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know, you know, there could still be that type of an aspect in the long term here for someone like Denzel Ward as well. But yeah, he did need some oxygen, but he was back on the field after missing a few plays and had a real good game. Both he and Greg Newsome had outstanding games.
You mentioned Myles Garrett in there. What do you think of his efforts as of late?
Well, I just think he continues to show that he's the top guy in the NFL. I know the first name off of everybody's tongue has usually been Aaron Donald, and he's fantastic and it would never take anything away from him. But I think Miles is playing as well as anybody in the NFL. And just the firsts that he has this year. He's number one in sacks with 12. He's number one with tackles for a loss with 12. And the total amount of yards that his sacks have compiled, if you will, is 66 yards. That's the best in the NFL. Now, last year, before COVID came into the scene for him, he was having a phenomenal year in the takeaway department. He didn't have as many sacks, but he was making those game-changing plays, stripping the balls, the strip sacks, that type of stuff. That's not as big a deal this year, but everywhere you go, you've got to worry about Miles. And I think we see each and every week as well, more and more instances posted on social media, or maybe just posted by the general media, if you will, of cases where he is getting mugged. And, you know, it's just going on. Two guys, there was one where there literally were two guys holding him together. It's like they're trying to keep a guy from busting through the door at Target on Black Friday, you know, to go get that 55-inch smart TV. There they were trying to keep Myles Garrett from getting to the quarterback. So he's been fantastic. He's been there all the time. He's played through a few nicks and knacks, if you will, and he's just been incredibly impressive.
John Telich, are you telling me that NFL officials have missed calls this year after that Monday night football game? I don't know if I can believe you. I mean, I think they've been their best this year.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, Rocco, did feel that the Steelers got some help there from the officials.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely want to revisit how you can subjectively take a look at so-called taunting. And I ask people if they have a chance to look at what Ryan Clark, former NFL player, who was a Steeler, by the way,
mm-hmm.
but what he said on the air a couple of days ago when asked about the penalty that was assessed on, I think it was Marsh.
Cassius Marsh, yeah.
Yeah, Cassius Marsh. The penalty was assessed on him for the taunting. And Ryan made an impassioned answer to the fact that you have no idea how much sweat and blood that has been spilled for me to get to the point I am in my career, and for me to get on that field, for me to be one of the fewest of the few to make it to the National Football League and to get into a game and to make an impactful play. And then after that happens, to just emotionally just shut down. And not everybody can be the way Jim Brown used to be. Not everybody is the way that Nick Chubb is. There are some guys that play with an incredible amount of emotion. And I just think the NFL just has to kind of look at that a little bit more. I know Mike Tomlin was impassioned about they want this game to be what the kids look up to and emulate, and they don't think they want guys being emulated who strut on the field towards the other team's sideline. So it's a real difficult thing to come up with on the taunting call. But I think we've just had too many instances this year where there's just been bad officiating, taunting notwithstanding, and the league's got to really look a real long, hard way at that, because they have traipsed into the category of being in the same business with the betting institutions, and it has to be ironclad, 100% authentic and real. Otherwise, everything goes right out the window.
Yeah, and I think this past Monday night game that we were just talking about there, I think that's the one that you know, really opened some eyes and probably gets the NFL to maybe take a harder look at some things in that regard. So we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. So, hey, JD, before we get into the Patriots game predictions here, any thoughts on where Odell Beckham Jr. might end up?
Well, there's several teams, and we're talking midday on Wednesday, so certainly the news could be coming even after we chat here. In the media circles, there were some names of teams that were thrown out, and they were the Packers, the Patriots, the Chiefs, and the Saints. Now, I know he's going to take a little bit more time than just signing immediately after he became a free agent, which was, Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, when he had gone through waivers from Monday to Tuesday and nobody picked him up. The Browns saved $3 million. That's a good thing. That's also, a reason why, you saw Wyatt Teller get paid, why they'll be able to have maybe a few more dollars to maybe take care of Joel Bitonio, take care of Denzel Ward, and obviously the big signing would be Baker Mayfield. But those are the options that have been bandied about by most of the national media and those that might have contacts with his camp, if you will. And I don't know what's the best fit. Obviously, in all of those teams, there's a strong presence at the head coaching position, although I wouldn't say that's necessarily the case with the Packers, but they have a strong presence at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. But with the Patriots, Chiefs, and the Saints, you've got Belichick, you've got Andy Reid, and you have Sean Payton. All three proven, successful coaches. And again, no knock on Kevin Stefanski, who's young and getting into it, but maybe that will lean him one way or the other. Which way he goes, I have no idea, Rocco, but he's definitely going to be employed by someone, and he still has some good football left in him, no doubt at all.
Well, one of those future potential employers that you mentioned, the New England Patriots under Bill Belichick, the Browns will see them this Sunday. What do you make of the New England Patriots this year? They're not the Patriots of old, of course, right? But still not a terrible football team. What do you make of them?
Well, first of all, I think they worked themselves to get Mac Jones, and Mac Jones has really proven to be a very good young quarterback. So they did very well in that category. They've won 4 of 5. They just beat the Panthers and the Chargers. Mm-hmm. They've got a decent defense that's getting better and better. They've got the McCourty twins back there in the decent defensive secondary. People may remember Jamie Collins, who was with the Browns. He always seems to play pretty well when he's with the New England Patriots. And they're one of the many teams that has five wins in the National Football League, especially in the AFC. I think there's 11 teams in the AFC that have that many wins. And so, they're right there. They're building. They made the decision to not go with Cam Newton, and it was a smart thing. And I think it was also showing the poise and the maturity of the Belichick regime, if you will. They understood 100% that Cam Newton is a starting quarterback by not just profession, but just the DNA. And that it would not have been a good scenario for him, fair to him, considering the career that he's had, and his career has kind of gone on the downslope because he just can't throw anymore. Mm-hmm. But it would have been not beneficial to have this guy be a backup to Mac Jones. And so they cut their ties. They went with Mac Jones, and everything is being done the Belichick way, which is how he enjoys it. And he's having his team playing some pretty good football, and I'm sure he's also feeling better with the aspect that he can continue to prove that he's got a lot of football moxie left in him, and all that success, all those Super Bowls weren't just because he had number 12 as his quarterback.
Browns Patriots this Sunday, 1 o'clock from Foxborough, should be a good one. Certainly looking forward to it. JT, before we get out of here, what do you think of the high school slate this Friday night? Tons of good games.
Tons of fantastic games. You know, this would normally have been week two of the playoffs a year ago. As you know, Rocco, they doubled the amount of teams that are in the playoffs. So this is week three in the playoffs, but yet there's a lot of great games in Northeast Ohio. The big schools with Medina and their outstanding quarterback going up against St. Ignatius, and then St. Edwards and McKinley in the D1 situations. And then also you have Olmsted Falls and Avon. That's a great one as well. So looking forward to what the high school schedule has for us.
He is Fox 8's own John Telich. He is the best in the business. JT, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it as always. Looking forward to catching up some more next week.
Thanks a lot, buddy. I'll talk to you then.